Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight's true horrifying disappearance story is about a Royal Air Force soldier, gunner, and medic, Corey McGeague, and his disappearance in the UK while he was out one night having fun with a group of friends. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up, and tell a friend. Now, let's get spooky. More questions than answers. The Royal Air Force, which probably reminds you of fighter jets, helicopters, radars, and soldiers with heavy equipment. Or you probably imagine soldiers treating each other as brothers. One of those brothers was Corey McGeague, who was considered a talkative and kind person, who got along well with everyone, and a likable person in the company. No wonder his disappearance shocked everybody. Corey McGeague worked for the Royal Air Force as a gunner and medic. He was born in Perth in 1993 and had two brothers. He joined the Air Force in 2013. His post was in Huntington. He also had a girlfriend named April Oliver, who was already pregnant when he disappeared. However, none knew about it. When he went missing, April was on holiday leave over in the United States, but having heard the news, she went back to the UK. Later, she gave birth to a daughter in June of 2017. He was last seen on CCTV, entering a dead in the area called Bury St. Edmunds. It was also confirmed by a TV and radio tower nearby, which tracked his mobile phone signal. There was also a landfill site nearby. It was assumed that his body might have been at the site, but the police did not want to check it, saying that the bin lorry did not carry enough weight of waste around that time. Later, it was found out that the lorry did carry enough weight than it had been estimated earlier. The police theorized that Corey might have been crushed by the lorry and his body should be at the Barton Mills landfill. His family disagrees with this theory, though. More than 2.1 million pounds were spent on this investigation, which involved both the Suffolk Police and the Royal Air Force. The case was closed in March of 2018. Before his disappearance on the 23rd of September in 2006, he seemed happy and carefree. He had already booked a flight for his hometown, Dunfermline, for Halloween. On the night of this day, he went out to drink with his friends. He went by car, but he was going to leave it somewhere. They spent some time in the Flex nightclub, then got separated from his friends. However, he was planning to meet one of his brothers, Derek, according to the text message he sent him later at 3:08 a.m. The security guard of the Flex said that he had been asked to leave the nightclub because he was too drunk. He was not aggressive or did not cause any trouble. It just might have been better for him to leave. The guard also mentioned having a nice chat with him outside the building. Then Corey went to Mama Mia's restaurant where he ordered takeaway food. It was between 1:15 a.m. and 1:30 a.m. After that, he went to Brent Govel Street and reached dead and in that street which was full of waste bins. According to the CCTV record, he never came out of the street. The investigators assumed that he may have slept on a door for a short period of time, and it was unlikely that he was planning to go back to his base, which was pretty far away. Nicola Urquhart, his mother, also agreed with this assumption, saying that this habit was typical of her son. Now I am going to tell you his story based on what I read in the newspapers and what I heard from other people. Since he did not turn up at the base, he was reported missing, and the Suffolk Lowland Search and Rescue Team, the Suffolk Police, and the Royal Air Force started to search the area of Bury Street Edmonds, and Honington. Besides the CCTV footage, there was no other reliable sighting. It was found out that his mobile phone was moving towards Barton Miles the next morning. This town is 19 kilometers far away from Bury Street, Edmonds. Since the phone was moving quite fast, it was unlikely that it was being taken on foot. A lorry was thought to be carrying his body, so the Suffolk police stopped it on the road between the two towns. But the lorry was said to carry only 15 kilograms of waste and could have carried a body. Having this information, the police started to check the road between the two towns. As for his mobile, it was unreachable at 8 a.m., and there were three theories. 1. His mobile phone was turned off. 2. The battery was down. 3. The phone was damaged. Nonetheless, the phone was not found. Another theory was that somebody had given him a lift as he was walking back towards his base. The police asked the public to let them know if anyone was involved in this case, even if something unpleasant happened. According to CCTV, how could have anyone had given him a lift if he had never left Brent Gravel Street? Probably not on foot. The British Transportation Police also joined the search. They started looking for him along railways as well. Some roads were closed during the search. In the meantime, some people were identified on the CCTV video, but most of them were not cleared. The King's Forest and the area between Barton Mills and Honington were combed, assuming that he had been hit by a car on his way back home. But nothing was found. She managed to get more than £50,000 to find her son. His mother, Nicola, criticized the police, claiming that the investigation was not satisfying. She was even thinking about hiring a private detective. The police refused the criticism, saying that they were focusing on the person. In February 2017, the police decided to check the landfill site where his last mobile phone signals came from. Their theory was that he may have been sleeping in a bin, and the bin lorry may have crushed it while it was emptying its contents. The family disagreed in this idea, saying that he would never have slept in a bin, and that he would have went back to his car. The search, however, started and covered more than 900 M2. The police announced that they had made a mistake when calculating the lorry's weight on September 27th. The vehicle carried, in fact, weight of close to 100 kilograms, which, according to some people, meant that it should have carried Corey's body. Detective Katie Elliott announced that the landfill search was going to end. About 7,000 tons of waste were moved, but there was no results. The police gave the landfill site back to its owners, but Nicola still believed that her son was there and wanted to suspend the operation of the landfill site in order to protect her son's body. There was another bad news. According to Dr. Stuart Hamilton, medical examiner, if the body had been crushed by the bin lorry, it must have decomposed very fast because it was amongst waste, and the high contamination must have done serious damage to the DNA. A skull and bones were found later, but none of them were connected to this case. The Suffolk police started a second search at Milton landfill site. It was believed that the waste could have been transferred to that site around the time of Corey's disappearance. The theory that he could have slept in a bin and that Lori took him to a landfill site was still supported by the police. The Suffolk police were going to end the investigation because there was no useful leads. In the summer of 2018, the police closed down the investigation, and the family was planning to hold a memorial service for their son. The father came to terms with the possibility that his son could be dead and his body could be somewhere at the landfill site. Now let's see the theories which emerged after the case. The official theory. The police suggested that he had slept in a bin which was emptied into the lorry and got crushed. As a result, his remains are still somewhere at the landfill site. In October 2018, the police announced that they had checked the recorded weight data carried by Lori after leaving Brentgovel Street. The analysis covered the interval of the year. The usual weight was around 20 to 30 kilograms every time, besides the occasional when it almost reached 100 kilograms. So this information also confirmed the theory, according to the police. The suicide theory. According to his father, he might have committed suicide because it was difficult for him to accept being a father. However, this theory was later refused by most members of the family, arguing that he had not known about his daughter until his disappearance. The third party theory. According to Colin Sutton, a retired detective, it was impossible that he had left the dead end without seeing it on CCTV. It was tested, and his walking out should have been seen. Consequently, there must have been a third party that took him out from there by vehicle, alive or dead. So the assumption that he left intentionally was unreasonable. The official theory was denied by Nicola, too. She could not believe that her son had slept in a bin. He must have slept at Brentgovel Street in the doorway of a shop, and a third party was involved when leaving. She did not consider the lorry suspicious, because the weight that it carried was normal. The kidnapping theory. According to a presumption, Corey may have been kidnapped. The base of this theory was that a soldier was kidnapped at RAF Marham in July 2016. Later, however, the theory was rejected by Captain Mick Smith, RAF Huntington. The missing time theory. After the investigation, Nicola revealed that the CCTV footage that the police had ended at 12 a.m., the morning after his disappearance. She pointed out that he may have left the street later that day, even on foot. In addition, there are people on the footage coming and going in and out of the street that morning. One of the individuals who was seen leaving the street had a similar outfit on that Corey had been wearing, so it is possible that it was him on the record. Then he goes missing. Which is another possible theory, of course. But the question really is, which one is true? Maybe time will tell.